And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to special election coverage with Linda Hughes, the great Theron X, Pastor Rick, and myself, Gary Wellings. Glad to have you aboard with us this morning. Theron, you had something to talk about, didn't you?
Well, first of all, we have Glenn Beck tied up in the back room with his wallet shoved in his mouth so he doesn't swallow his tongue. Guy's freaking crazy. I mean, he's been nothing but anti-Trump. He's been counterproductive. And I say God bless it. He's not here for 2 days. But here's the deal. I wanted to comment on Ted Nugent last night. If you saw Donald Trump in Grand Rapids, Ted Nugent was playing guitar in front of everybody. And I wanted to point something out. Now, you guitar players know what I'm talking about. The tone that Ted uses, the volume, just the overall, just huge depth, width, and breadth of it. Even if you make a mistake, nobody knows. When you're playing with a clean tone, oh, man, it sticks out like a sore thumb. But he's got that just massive guitar tone. It was pretty cool to see him up there doing that, though. So, Ted Nugent, thank you for finally getting on board. He's been on board for quite a while, but it's good that he's going out and stumping at these rallies. I was waiting for Kid Rock. I didn't see Kid Rock show up last night.
What's the chance of getting Kid Rock or Ted Nugent to run for Debbie Stabenow's seat in 2 years?
Boy, that would be cool.
You know what I mean? Here's two super patriots. Yeah. Who have super popularity, and I think this election has shown. So you know what, Kid Rock, and I've sent things to his manager before.
Yeah.
Listen, why not?
He's actually very smart.
You've secured your place in history as musicians. Take the next step. Do something different for your country. You know,
that's an excellent idea.
Do you actually think his manager would have passed that word along?
I'm sure he did.
If he would have become a politician, you realize the manager takes a cut in pay.
Hey, you just jogged a memory. You just jogged a memory. And I've been beating this up on my show quite a bit. Linda and I watched Trevor Loudon's The Enemies Within the other night.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that yet?
I have not.
It's on Amazon Prime. I think it's on something called Primo. There's a number of ways to get it. But this is a must-see. When Dinesh D'Souza did his Hillary's America, he just scratched the surface. He showed you the history of what I would consider to be the vehicle that Trevor shows you that now is fully infested and the vehicle they're using to undermine this country. And the reason I mention that is Debbie Stabenow is a huge part of that.
Right.
She could possibly be a useful idiot and not really know the ramifications of the people funding her. But by and large, this country has been undermined by a group called the Democrat Socialists of America. And Trevor hits that on steroids. It literally is the communist revolution that some people think, oh, that's hyperbole, that's crazy, communism died in the 60s. No, it didn't. It's alive and fully well. Trevor so beautifully documents this. You must see this film. It's called The Enemies Within, Trevor Loudon. You may have to search for it on Google, but you'll find it. He premiered it the other night out in Milford at the Hickory Ridge Church.
Right.
But we watched it, and again, Debbie Stabenow, funded in large part by Democrat Socialists of America, John Conyers on steroids. John is not a useful idiot. He knows exactly what's going on.
Right.
He's a huge part of all this. So it's crucial, and that's where we're at right now in our American history, 2016. This vote right now, as much as I hate to say it, it's a baby step. We put Donald Trump in office. It's one step in the right direction, but we will be taking the right direction as opposed to just on steroids, keep mounting socialism on top of this beautiful country of ours.
And if you haven't seen Clinton Cash, a little late to see it now to have an effect, but the Clinton Cash thing was as eye-opening as anyone that can watch that and still vote for Hillary Clinton. There's something psychologically wrong with you.
That's their agenda.
Right.
I mean, you cannot... let's take a look at... Let's just scratch the surface here with Gingrich, right? We've got a nice track from Newt Gingrich, who I like a lot. He was one of my first picks in 2008 or 2012. And Derek, do you have that track with Gingrich talking about emoluments? And if you don't know what emoluments are, I'll give you the background. It's part of Article 1, Section 9 in the Constitution, Clause 8. No title of nobility shall be granted by the United States, right? There's no kings, there's none of that stuff. No person holding any office of profit or trust under them shall, without the consent of Congress, accept any present emolument, office, or title of any kind, which means you cannot, as Secretary of State, accept any money. And that includes her partner and husband, Bill Clinton. Derek, you got that ready? No, he doesn't have it ready. Okay.
I think we broke that law like 5 billion times.
Oh, and that's what Gingrich is saying. He's
right.
Here we go. Go ahead and play it.
Now,
all right, let's take a call from Robert on line one. Robert, welcome to the show.
Hi, I just wanted to tell you folks that I voted for Trump, and I got my fingers crossed. I'm glad that you're telling the truth. I don't understand the young people. They're all socialists. I just don't get it. It's not the America I grew up in. You know, I worked hard for everything I had in my life, and you know, they've just gutted the middle class. It's just horrible.
Yeah, you know what that is, Robert? That's us letting our school boards be taken over by these progressives. And that's when they say local elections are the most important. It is. So, you know, folks, run for school board. Put the schools back where they belong so the next generation of kids don't grow up to be socialists. That's what they've done to us.
It isn't just the kids. I've advocated on my show many, many times that the state legislatures, legislators in not just our state but all states, need to audit the money that's going to universities in their respective states, because the schools of education that pump these teachers out, we're two generations, maybe three out of teachers that don't even know what's going on in this country politically. Don't have a clue. They're buying right into the Saul Alinsky thing, right into the socialist thing.
Yeah. Hey, Robert, how much?
Good fight, guys.
Robert, how much red did you see down there?
Well, a Clinton person told me the wrong polling place, and when I went to Perry School, it was very crowded. There was 150 people there. Now, when I got to the right place, it went pretty smoothly at Second Baptist there on Hamilton. But Perry School, they're coming out. They're out there.
That's a good sign.
Okay. Well, good. Thanks for the call, Robert.
You know, in the primaries.
Thanks for voting, Robert.
In the primaries at my precinct, not even 500 people voted in the last primary at the precinct. This morning at 7 o'clock, I was voter 552.
Wow.
Well, here, I just got some news in. Now, I have a friend, so this is not a Democratic operative working for me. This is a friend giving me an honest update. He's got a volunteer in Detroit, a heavily Democratic area, that had the wrong ballots. Individuals were given a ticket to return and vote later. I asked him what it was. He said they were given those wrong ballots. Someone made a big, big mistake, and the computer down there is not accepting them. So,
wow.
And I just quoted back. I said, listen, that's Democrat-controlled area. If there's a mistake, you can't blame the GOP on this one. Right?
And does he say what they're doing? Are they going to?
They're giving them a ticket to return later and vote. Now, is that some kind of a scam?
Is
to
the ticket
change?
For January 13th? Or what?
Well, for me, it's one thing. Either A, they want to make sure that they're going to get the votes they want, or B, are they already setting up an excuse for why they've lost?
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? So, interesting to see that in a heavily Democratic area in Detroit, they're having voting issues, really?
That's very odd.
Stuff is going to happen. There's no way around it. Since the beginning of our country, it's happened for a number of reasons. Corruption, voter fraud, also just mistakes. Mistakes are going to happen. That's why it is crucial that we overwhelm. Some 23 million evangelicals did not vote last go-around. They could not vote for Mitt Romney. They didn't think he was a Christian. Well, being a president is about ensuring that you can be a Christian. And this time, I don't think we have to worry about that issue so much. But please, get up off the couch. Go vote, as Trump said. Even if you're sick, get up off the couch. You've got to crawl yourself to the vote, to the polling place. Vote.
Yeah.
You know, you made an interesting statement earlier. I'm just going to comment on it. To the Republicans out there, I said this yesterday. Today is the 8th. Today is voting for you Republicans. Democrats, I'm not sure when your voting date is. I know their DNC office will be open tomorrow. Give them a call. Find out what day you're supposed to vote.
You know, we're going to win in a landslide. I mean, we're going to win in a landslide. We don't need to do we don't need to do what they do, but I feel it. Don't you guys feel it? Can you feel
totally
it in
feel
here?
I'm feeling something that I've not felt in 2008
right.
or 2012.
I know, me neither.
I literally thought in 2012 we'd hit rock bottom and that there was no way they would give Barack Obama another 4 years.
Right.
And yet we did.
That was a kick in the stomach.
That was.
It was.
I was sick to my stomach then, but this time I am sick ahead of time. I am so nervous and literally just like I've had too much coffee and I haven't.
But I would add that kick in the stomach, that was because a number of people didn't vote.
Right.
A huge percentage of people didn't vote. I'd have people call on my show, I can't vote for Mitt Romney. Well, you ended up voting for a Islamocentric socialist.
Right.
Instead.
Right. Imagine what would have happened had 5 million people come out last time around and voted for Romney. Whether you liked him or not, whether you agreed that he was a Mormon or not, whether you thought he was wearing the magic underwear, whatever. If you had voted for him, we may not have had 4 more additional years of Barack Obama opening the border, bringing in refugees, doing all this stuff.
We wouldn't have all these kids coming across the border. We would not have had the Islamic State rise up because he wouldn't have micro-mismanaged Iraq. He never would have brought about the Arab Spring, which Obama and Hillary brought about.
But you know what? It might have taken this. I'm one of those that always thinks that there's a reason for everything happening the way it does. And I don't think we would have been as awake as we are now had Romney been elected, because look at all the stuff we've learned about Obama and Hillary and about Romney. When he came out against Trump, I mean, I was very confused and thought, okay, this is not making any sense. If we're all supposed to be on the same team, we're all conservatives, why is Romney leading this elitist establishment, Republican weird club that all of a sudden is turning on all of us, not going to support the nominee no matter what? And then you see they're all globalists too.
Yeah.
The elitist establishment Republicans are in that global group, and it sounds, you know, James Bondish, but it's true.
It's
all about money and power, and a lot of the top Republicans don't give a crap about the American people, middle class or otherwise. They need to work their show. And that's all they care about.
Well, Derek's got that track ready. Let's listen to how the Clinton machine, the Clinton crime syndicate, actually works.
I worry that the elite media has blindly refused to tell the truth. Every foreign gift, every foreign speech, senator or secretary of state, and everyone knows that a big charge is the U.S. Constitution. There's a section of the Constitution called the Emoluments Clause that says no one nor their spouse can take money from foreigners. She has to be guilty of 70 or 100 counts just on that one charge. Then you look at the people who came into the office. And by the way, the real interesting thing about WikiLeaks and everything else is they showed us how corrupt the system was. They showed us that people were being told, you need to get them in because they're giving to the foundation. I think the real corruption is the lack of the media being willing to be honest about how much lawlessness the Clintons stand for and how much they have ripped off the American people.
All right,
okay, so... lawlessness. Wow. When you talk about that global elite, I mean, Alex Jones is not wrong.
Right.
David Janda is not wrong.
Right.
This is a global elite cabal of people trying to screw and enslave the American people.
Yeah.
Well, you got to also never, ever, ever forget that you cannot swing a so-called liberal. I hate that term. There are no liberals. There are straight-up progressives, which equal communists. You're never going to swing them with a logic-based argument. Their whole agenda is to bring about a one world. The collective trumps the individual. They'll tell you what to eat, drink, wear, drive, and they'll tell you how it's all supposed to be made. Then they'll tax you into the ground and give you just what you need. They don't care about dishonesty. They don't care about the Clintons taking things. I've had friends of mine tell me, well, I'll just tell them this and then they'll understand. No. They don't understand. And if they do understand, they're actively on the evil one side. So never forget that.
Yeah.
So we must overwhelm. That you mentioned earlier about, or you did, Pastor Dietering, about... Carrie Benevoli, that's it. It was Debbie Dingell working with Dave Trott. And I'm sure in Trott's mind, which is twisted thinking, he thinks we're reaching across the aisle and we need to get along. I'm sick of reaching across the aisle. We need to start shooting across the aisle. And I'm serious. I don't mean literally, but it's not about when the Republicans get into Congress, they're supposed to work with the Democrats. No, the majority is there to do what the people put them there for, not to water things down, not to play stupid games so they can just get along. So, again, it's never going to be where you're gonna turn a straight-up progressive with a logic-driven argument. Like Newt Gingrich makes this argument, oh, now I see, they're dishonest, oh, now I can't vote for her. They're not functioning in logic. It's wishful thinking. It's fantasy thinking.
Yeah, you have to, like you said earlier, you have to get down to the basic level, and that's where Trump has done such a good job, talking about hitting people in the pocketbook.
Yes.
Let's look at Obamacare. Obamacare is going to be hitting you in the pocketbook in 2017 like nobody's business. 16% increases here in Michigan, 116% in Arizona. You will feel that in your pocketbook. And we need to come up with a new plan, like Patrick Colbeck's got, to get things running in America. And Trump will listen to guys like Patrick Colbeck.
Right, he certainly will.
You know,
he certainly
you sit there and you talk about the progressives and how they vote. They kind of remind me of the Chinese. They don't look at the short term. They're voting for a long-term agenda.
Bingo.
And therefore, they're not voting for the person. They're voting for the completion of their long-term agenda.
Right.
It doesn't matter what crimes Hillary broke. It doesn't matter that she's a criminal. She is willing to feed into their long-term agenda, so we will elect her so she can feed into our agenda, regardless of what she's done.
The ends justify the means. It's Saul Alinsky 101.
Yeah. Let's take a call from Andy on line one. Andy, welcome to the show.
Great show this morning. You guys are tearing it up. It sounds awesome. I wish I was sitting there with you.
Well, you are sitting
Come
here
on
with
down.
Us, Andrew.
Yeah, I can't. I got to go do errands this morning. We voted already. We voted already, and I got my kids to vote for Trump, so we got at least eight of them going from our family to Trump.
All right.
Nice.
Did you go and actually physically vote, or did you do absentee? I'm curious how much red, as Gary said earlier, did you see a lot of people, if you went into the polling place, were people wearing red?
I would encourage people who are out at the polls to call you guys. I did absentee because I have a disability, so I can't stand in line for 8 hours mm-hmm. or an hour or whatever. So
did you wear red when you filled out the ballot?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I said, did you wear red when you filled out the ballot?
Yeah. Well, you know, Ted Nugent was on fire last night. It was a great video.
Yeah.
He did an awesome job. Trump was on fire, too. And to think that they're closing shop in Michigan is beyond belief, folks. You have got to get out and get to the polls and make Michigan red. That would make us all proud. That would just be phenomenal, meaning a landslide.
Well,
so make sure it happens.
We right now are in the belly of the beast. You too, Andy. I know you work in Dearborn, I think, and we're down here in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor. This part of the state is the part of the state that needs to be overwhelmed. This and Flint are straight up on the wrong side. That when we talk about Michigan being a blue state, no. Detroit, Ann Arbor, and Flint are a blue state. That's it. So we need to, and parts of Benton Harbor, but that's it. So it's up to the people of Michigan to get up and overwhelm this inner city largesse.
Northern parts of this state getting really fired up and pulling out and showing the people. One thing I did want to ask you guys, won't it be great to see who's going to be in a Trump cabinet?
Oh, it's going to be great.
Secretary of State or an Attorney General being Giuliani.
Yeah.
Like that.
You know what?
Phenomenal.
This is what drives me crazy with the Republicans. Why, once again, have we reached the election day and we don't know what that cabinet is? If you could walk into election day with your team set and ready to go so that people go, that's the team I want to vote for.
Right.
That's a winning all-star team.
Idea.
Yeah.
You know?
But we have
seen
the people he's surrounded himself with already.
Yeah, we're
and
guessing.
And they're great. So I doubt very seriously he's going to say, okay, all you guys, been nice knowing you. Get lost.
Yeah.
My new cabinet's coming in.
The thing about right now is he's got a great bench. He's got a great bunch to choose from. He has all kinds of people that can help him out.
You nailed it. It's a great bench. And I think strategically the reason they don't do that, and I've called for that too, come at us with your entire cabinet.
Right.
What if somebody in the cabinet, who knows what, all of a sudden something pops up and, uh-oh, now we got a flawed guy and they got to mess around with that and play catch up. Like Chris Christie, great guy. I'm hoping he winds up attorney general. But now they're trying to get him on this what they call bridge thing. Who knows? So they can't be encumbered with that as a tactical point in the race.
Right.
Now, Andy, you're a Twitter king. What are you seeing on Twitter this morning overall about this, about today?
Well, you know, the media has been pushing us so hard to damp down the enthusiasm at every turn, so it's kind of hard sometimes. But you see all these little pieces of hope within that. And then you see these crowds and stuff. And Hillary, they go on about how Hillary brought in the biggest crowd ever in during the race. But she had how many celebrities supporting her?
Well, that's
what
she had to start doing. She brought in Katy Perry last night. It was Bruce Springsteen and John Bon Jovi.
Exactly.
I mean, come on. They're there to see them.
Well, but then on Twitter, because you get such an instant feed, they had a video of her getting off the plane from that thing, and Bill had to help her to the limo. She was drunk.
I have not corroborated this yet, but I received an email from our good buddy Dave Janda. I went over and looked at the site. There was a report some stagehands were tweeting from backstage that Hillary, when Bruce Springsteen was on stage and he was supposed to bring her on, he said something, and now the next president, Madam President of the United States, something like that, and he reached up and touched his ear like he heard in his earpiece. You know, they're all wearing the earpieces if they're entertainers up there. And he heard, and supposedly after that he said she was born to run and went into Born to Run. In other words, they theorized he was told to stall because Hillary was collapsing backstage and they had to do something to help her out. And I don't know if that's true or not, but that is a report out there floating around now that stagehands actually saw that backstage.
Yeah. You make a great point, Andrew. Before you go, what's your Twitter handle?
DREWDBRANDT.
@DrewDBrandt. @DrewDBrandt, right? Okay, good.
Yeah, I just retweeted you guys a minute ago.
Okay,
so
great.
Look out on Wham or whatever on your guys' stuff.
Excellent. Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you. You do a great job. Continue, you guys. I hope some people call in to tell us what the polls look like.
You know, you were talking earlier about the problems with the polls in Detroit that your friend sent you on, and wondering if that was they're building up their excuse to lose.
That's exactly right.
And I mentioned this yesterday on New York Times. It was actually New York Times said that Michigan will probably go Trump because it is the least diverse state in the country. Yeah, and this is their words.
It's a white racist state.
87% white, so it'll probably go towards Trump. And I'm sitting there saying they've gone for the Democrats, and the diversity of Michigan has never been an issue with them, but now all of a sudden it is. They're looking for excuses. Right. ABC came out and says, well, it looks like Trump's going to overwhelmingly take Florida. They're already building up their excuses for their loss.
Yeah. Derek, do we have time to squeeze this track in? All right, this is, again, we're talking Obamacare. This is how involved Hillary is. Let's make sure she gets responsibility for this. Go ahead and play it.
What's wrong with a revolution?
Well, that's for Senator Sanders to explain, because that certainly is the core of his message to young people. I have a different take on it. I think the progress that we have made, and particularly the Democratic Party has made, has been hard fought for, hard won, and must be defended. So I want to defend the Affordable Care Act. It is one of the great accomplishments, not only of this president, but of the Democratic Party going back to Harry Truman. The Republicans are, you know, the Republicans are determined to repeal it, and they've tried 62 times just to turn it back to the insurance companies. Senator Sanders and I share the same goal. We want to get to universal health care coverage. Before it was called Obamacare, it was called Hillary Care.
All right. And she laughs about it. Folks, she's laughing about jacking your pocketbooks for more money in 2017. Can you keep your doctor? No, you can't. Can you keep your health plan? No, you can't. They lie, they lie, they lie, and now they're jacking your pocketbooks. This affects you on a level that can't be... It's that basic.
And it's getting rid of all of our good doctors. They're retiring early. They're quitting. It's horrible.
Yeah. She's directly responsible for Obamacare and those increases you will get in 2017. All right. We'll see you on the other side of the break.